Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I was out there driving, and I thank God that we are here. I had to drop my granddaughter to work, so I just turned on the computer, but, you know, it wasn't time for me to pull in. So, but we are here, back here this morning, and we are excited about what God is doing. Excited for what God is doing in the church building and on this Blog Talk Radio station where the Lord has allowed us to be partakers of his divine word. We are excited and we are delighted. Hallelujah. My bishop used to say that all the time back in Virginia. Bishop Prince, the man that ordained me, he would always say, it is good, it is good. Hallelujah. To be in the house of the Lord, he says, hallelujah, that it's a blessing to be in his house. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God. Let me close this window because it's pouring down rain and the cars are driving by making a lot of noise. We thank you, O God. We bless you, O God, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. We honor you, O God, with everything that's within us. We honor you with our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul. We ask, O God, that you would speak to us this morning and speak through us. O God, we are nothing without you, but, Lord, we recognize that we can do all things through you as you continue to strengthen us. We pray for Brother Deacon Fraser. I don't know if his father is still on this side of the grave, but we pray that he's still on this side of the grave. And we pray that, O God, that you are strengthening Deacon and all of his family members that are there. Deal with this situation, oh God, that you are the one that's handling it for them, giving them the strength. We pray for a prophetess Kersey. She has, her daughter had a massive stroke. She had a massive stroke last weekend, and now she was sent out a clarion call for everybody to pray for her daughter because it's bad. She's a young woman, and to have such a stroke, nobody's exempt from sickness or even death. But, you know, you don't ever think that young people are going to have these kind of things happening to them. But, you know, the Bible says all things are possible. And not only to those that believe, to those that don't believe, you know, things happen. So we were praying for her and is still praying for her that she would come through safe, even with a stroke, you know, that God will bring it out because God is able. I remember back in Virginia when I had to go over to my pastor's house. He had this massive stroke, had paralyzed his whole left side. And he was laying in bed for some time, and then he came up out of the bed and was with a wheelchair. He had a walker. He was in a walker, not a walker. But he had the left side was pretty much dead. And he had to balance out on the walker. And then we went over there and prayed for him and told him that it wasn't on to his death, that he wasn't going to die and that he wasn't going to stay paralyzed, that God was going to heal him. I told him that God just wanted to talk to him because that's what the Lord told me. And I told him that he came from a walker to a king, and from a king, that if you see him today, you wouldn't even know that he even ever had a stroke, that his whole side was paralyzed. Why? Because God completely healed him. Hallelujah. And he is able to do the same for Prophetess Kersey's daughter. He's able to do the same. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God. We admonish you today with everything that's in us. We ask you this morning as we lift up Prophetess Kersey's daughter before you this morning, before we go into this word, Lord, we ask you to intervene, oh God. We ask you to go into the hospital room where she is, where they're watching over her, Lord God. And Lord, we ask you to go in there and touch her, Lord. And Lord, do whatever needs to be done to bring her back whole and without scars in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to minister here from Second Chronicles, and we're going to go some other places. But let's go into Second Chronicles, because we're talking about, this is a message we did, I believe, in 2011. But we're going to do it today as the Lord has given us. I was coming home from the church on yesterday. We recorded a powerful message on yesterday, talking about sin that God would forgive sinners. The sinner, he would forgive the sinner that called upon him in repentance. That was our word. And we recorded the message, and we put it on YouTube, and then we sent it from YouTube to Messenger to some of the people that I send, are able to send a message to. You know, I told you that you Facebook are controlling my posts now. So when I post, Facebook is they're trying to shut me down from posting. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians are being attacked on Facebook. I want you all to know that, because Facebook is very satanic. You understand? The guy who owned Mark Zuckerberg is a satanic, Illuminati person. So they, when you speak a lot about Christ, they try to limit how much posts you make and how all that stuff. So they'll block you out, shut you down. You know, I've been shut down for a couple of weeks at one time, a week or two or something, and we were shut down. We couldn't post for 30 days. One time we were on Facebook, but we couldn't post anything. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we couldn't respond to anybody's post for 30 days. A couple of times they did that to me. But they can't stop me, because I'm still alive and still doing what God says. If I don't post it on Facebook, I post it somewhere else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just thank God and praise God and glorify God this morning. We want to go on them just responding to a message from Barbados from my sister. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and let's start at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and start at verse 1. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Verse 1. Let me get it up on my computer. NLT. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verses 1. Asa, the religious reforms. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. And he said out, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. This is a powerful, powerful word. And I came home yesterday and lay on the bed, and I was, you know, coming down from the high of preaching and teaching the word on yesterday. And I began to look at this message and hear this message that I was running through the teaching in the from my book, from one of my notebooks, and I was running through the Bible. I said, wow, this is powerful. And what really got me is that it said the Lord, he's talking to this man of God. One man of God is talking to another man of God. And he said, listen, and to the people of Judah and Benjamin. Hallelujah. These are the tribes of Israel. And he said, whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he would abandon you. How many know that so many of us people today, lay people in the gospel, teaching and preaching. And as soon as we get up and get to a place where we start to prosper and we start to achieve stuff, hallelujah, we get a building, we get cars, we get homes, and we get some money in the bank. We don't think about God. Most of us don't think about God. We think about how much more we can get. And then when you get some people that will come and show up on your prayer line and give you accolades, your head begin to swell. you begin to get big head. My mama used to say when she was alive, God bless her soul, she used to say, boy, don't get the big head. Don't you get the big head. And, you know, she has gone home to be with the Lord because she was left this world as a Christian woman, loving the Lord, giving God worship, praise and worship all the days that she was, her elderly age that she was in the earth realm. She gave God praise, glory, and honor. He said, if you seek him, you will find him. If you abandon him, he would abandon you. Man, this is so powerful for all of us that think we are all that in a bag of chips in a Pepsi Cola. We think we all that. You get a little money, you get you a home, and you think you got it going on. He began to speak to this man. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. See, you need somebody to teach you. We need someone to teach us, to instruct us, to give us what God wants us to have. Not somebody to come and give you name it and claim it messages, pumping you up, making you feel that you got it, where you don't have it, because you don't know how to forgive people. You don't know how to repent. You think that you got it all together. Hallelujah. That's why I started out, even this morning, I was on my bed praising God, talking to him in silence. I was saying the Lord's Prayer in silence. Because the Bible says he hears the very faint word that come out of your spirit. The very faint word that no one else can hear. Hallelujah. You know the things that we say to ourselves? Man, you're speaking to yourself. Man, I'm going to mess her up. I'm going to mess him up. You know, you say them things to yourself because nobody can hear. I would do this and I would do that to that person. If they're messing me, I'm going to do this. You say all that stuff on the inside. You don't even verbally let it come out your mouth, but God hears it. He says they were without a true God. That means that in some way they were worshiping some false gods. And without a priest to teach them, and without the law, the word of God, to instruct them. See, that's why we got to study every day. Every day we got to get into the word. It's pouring down rain. I had to drive my granddaughter to work, and I was coming back. I said, Lord, I know that we're not going to be able to play any music because the time for the music, the worship is gone. We got to go right into the word. Listen to what he says. Whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. Do you know that when we, as children of God, even when we turn away from God and go back and acting a fool, because that's what it is, acting a fool, you don't want to mess with anybody, you don't want to go to church, and you boast about, I ain't going to no church building, I'm doing this. Why? Because the church people is all this and all that. All church people is not all this and all that. Some of them act unseemly, but that don't mean you got to act unseemly like them. There's some church building that you can find and go to in fellowship. But you rather stay home and talk big that you ain't going to no church. I'm going to no church. I don't mess with them people. There's a bunch of hypocrites. There's a bunch of liars. But you're a liar too. You're a liar too. Truth be told, and God know that. God knew that. Hallelujah. To God. We want to put ourselves on pedestals and put everybody else on the ground. It's not going to work. God knows who we are. It is not going to work. You hear what I tell you? So you might as well go ahead and repent and ask God to forgive you and ask God to bring you back to the flock. Bring you back to the garden of peace. Hallelujah. The garden of resurrection. You need to get back to that place where your spirit, man, can be resurrected. Because right now your spirit is in a mess. It's in a mess. You should see how God moved yesterday at church. You should see how he moved. by his spirit. And I got it all on tape. Here in this word, he says, during the dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation, and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. Do you know that God can trouble you? All don't come from the devil. When we desert God, when we leave God out of our situations, when we leave God out of our life, do you know he troubles us? And he can trouble us. He can disturb everything that you thought you got under control. He can disturb. He can cause everything to go topsy-turvy. He says, during the dark, those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nobody escaped. Nobody was able to escape problems. He says, nation fought against nation. Iraq against Iraq. Syria against Iran. Israel against Mossad. They were fighting, people fighting against one another. For God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, he says, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Listen, talking to the ones that are still standing flat-footed, that are still standing for truth. There's always going to be some in the crowd that's going to stand for truth. Everybody's not going to give in to a lie. Everybody's not going to compromise. They stands for God. Everybody ain't going to compromise. Some people are going to stand and say, if I fall, I fall. If I die, I die. They're going to say like Esther, if I die, I die, but I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to see the King. You got to get that mindset. No matter what happens, I'm going to see the King. Hallelujah. Can you get that mindset today? Opening doors for you, for us. Everywhere we look, there's doors opening. I'll be in North Carolina. Going to North Carolina on the 7th of December, if the Lord save the scene, we're going to spend the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th, and maybe the 10th in North Carolina. Then we're going to come back home, the Lord save the scene. Hallelujah. You have to be ready to do what God says. Don't you give up and don't give in. Don't let people cause you to be despondent. Jesus says, listen what he says. But as for you, Brother Deacon Fraser, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. God, see, I was on the line the other night. Didn't hear nobody on the line. Nobody said anything. The line was open. I stayed there for a little bit, then they got off. When Asa heard this message from Azariah, the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin, and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. No. I want you to see this. Some of the altars that are set up, see, the detestable altars that were set up to worship idols had to be taken down. And then the altar of God, the altar that we set up to praise God, need to be rebuilt. We need to rebuild the altar of God. There's too much confusion in the house now. So many people are dancing and twerking and doing all of this stuff. Rocking and bumping in the church is not holy. They don't have the holy dance like the mothers used to dance before. They don't give God holy worship anymore. It is a worship that they're putting out just like if they were in the nightclub. Who are they? doing this for? It's sure enough not for God. God is not receiving that worship because it's not holy worship. They're doing a worship that they're doing to entice the people that come to hear them. Hallelujah. They start going down to the church because, man, Tasha Hobbs or Cobbs or what's the call are going to be at the church this weekend. Kirk Franklin going to be ministering over here. Dal Hobbs or whatever you call him going to be, Pastor Williams going to be over at the church this weekend coming down. They're going to fill the sanctuary. They're not going down there to hear a word from the Lord. They're going down there to dance and shake themselves back and forth from the worship, the songs that they're hearing. You hear what I'm saying? So you're seeing a bunch of people that are going into these places and claiming they're worshiping God, but in truth, all they're doing is having a good time, as they used to do in the nightclub. We used to go to the nightclub, and we can't wait for the DJ to start the music. Matter of fact, we are in there early for happy hour, and we are drinking up, getting ourselves ready for when the music starts. It doesn't matter what the DJ says, played, everything sounds good by that time, because we are, at that time the DJ begin to play, we are not feeling any pain. You know what I'm talking about. We have so much alcohol inside of us, you know. If you remember your past, don't go so much to forget, because if you forget your past, you're destined to repeat it. Hallelujah. It's a testimony. Don't forget your past. The devil said, you don't have to remember that. Yeah, that's your past. Don't remember it. No, I'm not telling to go in and repeat your past. Remember where God has brought you from. That's your testimony. Glory to God. So here back in this word, we're in chapter 15. I got a lot to give you, but I don't know how much I'm going to give you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I still got some work to do this week, and we don't know. Supposed to be Wednesday. But the storm hurricane is passing by, and it's bad. I don't know how long it's going to stay. Coming, more hurricanes are coming. Causes evil that's in the earth. But hear what he said. Let's go into this thing. We're not a preacher. We're teaching. Listen what he says. When Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable or abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin. And in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all, not some of them, but all of the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. And Simeon, who had settled among them, for many Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign, when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. Now, something happened. The people come from every place to be with Asa. Asa is a man of God. He loved the Lord. But at some point in time, he deviated. Like most of us do from time to time. Tired, we get frustrated. So, no, I'm not going to the church anymore. I'm not fellowshipping with them anymore. Matter of fact, I just don't want to hear their voice anymore. But they still can't stop calling your name. They don't want to hear your voice, but they can't stop calling your name. Do you hear me today? But when you get to that place like Asa, you have to remember what God has done for you. We're talking about what to do when you're feeling weak. And all of us are going to feel weak from time to time. Most of us are going to get to a place where we become depressed, oppressed, and downpressed. All of these things are going to happen to us from time to time. Why? Because we are not perfect, and we are in a world where we are spiritually attacked. In the natural, in the spirit realm, we are spiritually, we experience attacks. So what you have to do, what we need to do, from time to time, and all the time we should be doing it, but from time to time when we do feel weak, it's turn to the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. It says that it's a call together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, who had settled among them, for many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord God was with him. Now, we are in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 10 now. The people gather at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle, 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God their ancestors, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets, blaring and ram's horn sounding. All in Judah were happy about the covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. Remember we said early in the text, it says that if you abandon God, God would abandon you. But if you seek him, you should find him. Always remember, you don't have to wait till you get into trouble to seek the Lord. You don't have to wait till your finances are almost depleted to call on the Lord. You don't have to wait till you get sick to call on the Lord for healing. I call on him all the time. I was preaching and going back and forth. I left home yesterday. I torn a ligament inside my left knee. And I was going back and forth on the altar. And when I walk, leave out to go to the house of the Lord to worship and praise the Lord, I had a hop or limp. But as I begin to go back and forth and I begin to call, Lord, I'm claiming healing for my knee right now in the name of Jesus. And I was preaching the word about sin. I was preaching about sin. I posted, as I said, it's on YouTube. And I sent it out from YouTube to Messenger. And all of a sudden, this thing was going through my knee. I can't explain to you how I feel, but I knew that God was healing my knee. And I got up this morning. It's not like that. It's not like that. Here, the people returned to God, and they made an oath, a covenant with God. And they said that they would seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. How are you seeking God today? They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted with their oath of loyalty to the Lord, with trumpets blaring and ram's horn sounding. All in Judah were happy about their covenant, for they had entered it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God. How are you worshiping God today? Something, you know, when God said that we have to examine our hearts, Paul says in Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 30, he said that we have to examine our hearts. What is he saying? We got to check ourselves out. Deacon Francis said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. But we have to check ourselves before we partake of Holy Communion. We go in there and we want to look holy and pious.
and we partaken of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ without even asking God to forgive us. Because we think that we are worthy. We have the right to eat his body and drink his blood. It's in the Bible. This is why most of us, the Bible says, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Talking about dead. Not sleeping asleep like you're going to sleep in snow. Many die because we are eating and drinking the blood of Jesus Christ, in his body and drinking his blood unworthily. We're not examining ourselves. We think we are too, we have reached a point that we don't have to repent. That's all. I preach the gospel. I teach the gospel. I sing in the choir, organ. I play the keyboard. I play the guitar, the drums, or whatever. Oh, yes, I serve the pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm a bear. You know, we push ourselves up. We walk and bob our head like the little doll on the dashboard. The little doll that people buy a stick on the dashboard and just bob the head all the time. Every time the car hit a bump or something, the little doll is bump. And we bob our head on the altar. We walking back and forth, teaching and preaching like we all that in a bag of chips and Pepsi Cola. And God said we need to repent and turn from our wicked ways. We got to. None of us can get up and put our hands in here. Lord, I know. Don't be like the Pharisee who bump his chest and say, Lord, I know. I paid my tithes. I gave my offering. And I don't do it. But the man that knew he was a sinner, he wouldn't even look at God. He wouldn't even look up to see where he was praying. His prayer was going. He had his head down in humility while he was praying. People boast how much they pray, how much they sing, how much they dance. To the repentant. None of us are to the place that we can boast and say, well, yes, I do this, man. Look, glory to God. I said, God, give me strength to get back to the building next week. Lord, all I want to do is praise you. I know I'm not even worthy to come and sit on your altar. I'm not even worthy, Lord. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, he has made the path that I can come in. Here, let's read this verse again. All of Judah, verse 15, were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. Their earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. King Asa even deposed his grandmother Micah from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. She set up a place for idol worship. His mother, his grandmother, do you see that? And he removed her position. She had a position in the temple, in the synagogue. You remember Eli, the priest? His two sons was working in the house, eating and drinking and having sex with the women in the synagogue. And he would not rebuke his sons because they were his sons. Guess what happened? They died in the battle. Then when he got the news that his sons were killed in the battle, he fell over because he was fat. He fell over. Eli the priest fell over. He was Samuel priest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He fell over and broke his neck. Because you can be in the house of God, and you can be the man of God, a woman of God, but you wouldn't tell your children. Your children live in a promiscuous lifestyle. You wouldn't say nothing to them. You wouldn't rebuke them because they're your children. You got your sister, your brother, and all them so acting up. The Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. Asa removed his grandmother from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole, broke it up, and burned it in the Kedron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed from Israel, Asa's heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Let me tell you something. If you live for God, God will protect you all of your days. The Spirit came. The coming of the Spirit of God, or Spirit of Yahweh, came of prophetic inspiration or divine authority. The chronicler used the term several times, always to indicate a prophetic oracle. God sent the prophet, the prophetess, that walked right before him to bring correction by his word, through his word, and by his spirit for his people. Let's go to chapter 24, Second Chronicle. Glory to God. We're talking about glory to God. What to do when you're feeling weak. Don't give up. Go to God. Let's jump down here. Let's start at verse 17. But after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before King Joash and persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worship Asherah poles and idols instead. Because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. See, God does not want you and I, does not want us to worship anything or anyone except him. It's a commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. This is what he says. But we find ourselves, we will get this new Lexus and new Bentley and new Rolls Royce, you know what I'm saying, new Lamborghini, Ferrari, get a nice house on the hill, 5-bedroom, 4-car garage with 2 swimming pools. We can't stand to get out there and have our pina colada because nobody can see you. You have your Irish whiskey, all that stuff sitting by the pool. Your corn liquor, you know what I'm talking about. You're smoking a joint. You're snorting some coke. You out there saying you are born-again believer, but now you are being blessed by the best. And you forget where your blessings come from, so now you all showing off your house, fancy house to everybody. Keep your cars glistening in the driveway. Want everybody to see how you're prospering. And you can't help but talking about your house all the time, but you never say that God is the one who blessed you. You say, I got a beautiful wife, a handsome husband, but you can't say, God gave me this man, this woman, and I'm going to cherish her, cherish him for the rest of my life. You end up abusing her, abusing him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about when you become weak. Because Satan's going to test all of us to see if we're going to stand. You find yourself mistreating the very one that God gave you because you didn't show appreciation, and you become weak. He says here in the word of God, yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back to him. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the verse 18. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worship Asherah poles and idols instead. Because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. That means this, the anger came from God, not from the devil. Divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. Yet the Lord sent prophecy. Look, God will chastise you. He's your father. And the people say, how can a loving God do this? No, God's going to chastise his children. He is daddy. He is Abba. God will whip your behind and rip you back to your knees. So you begin to worship him, praise him, and repent. We don't want to go through nothing. Say, Why God let this happen to you? Have you ever considered that you are the one that caused it to come upon you? Can you ever consider that we are the ones that caused what is happening to our lives to happen to our lives because we have deviated from the path? We have walked off the path of righteousness, and we end up doing things, the same thing. See, you're with the folk that are talking all this nastiness, and you wouldn't even rebuke them. Guess what? If you don't rebuke them, you're in agreement with them. You're sitting down there watching X-rated pornography on the TV or on the computer, and you won't rebuke them. I had some people come up on the page, because, you know, they got this stuff. I don't know if you have, you got a phone, so your phone's a computer. And if you're looking at Facebook sometime, and you're just surfing, my granddaughter told me that, you're just surfing, that means you're going through the page. You're going up or down, or sideways, or left or right. And they have, like, people that want to be friends. They say, well, they have eight friends. Eight of your friends are their friends, or ten of their friends, or two of their friends are your friends. And if you make the mistake to ever open their picture, sometimes I do. I open it because I want to see who the person is, because I want to see them. And sometimes you can see their eyes, and you see their eyes will tell you who they are. The spirit is in that picture. And you open the picture, some of the people, I'm telling you no lie, completely naked, no drawers, no bra, no underwear, no nothing. And guess what I do? I go and I block them off my page. And I ask Facebook to don't allow this thing to come back on my page. And they ask me why. I said, because it's nudity. Because they ask you all the reason why. I said, nudity. And you can get yourself so caught up in that stuff, and you're in your bedroom. You're in your living room. You're in your dining room. You are sitting in your car. You have find yourself deserting God. You hear me? Spending, giving all your time to this stuff on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Periscope. You are in it and don't realize that you're doing. You're leaving God. You're abandoning God. But the Lord, the Bible said, but yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back. God would draw you back. Because God don't want to lose one soul. Do you know that? It is not his desire that one should perish. The prophet warned them, but still the people would not listen. See, folk, you can be teaching the message that we teach here on Block Talk Radio. It's all about holiness, if you just listen. It's all about holiness, living right before God. Allowing God to change your heart, change our heart, and guess what happened? Guess what happened? The people will not listen. Do you hear me? They want a word to fix the itching that they're having in their ear. Their ears are itching for what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. So they're not hearing the man or woman of God. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest, this word always gets me. He stood before the people and said, this is what God says. And another book says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Why do you disobey the Lord's command and keep yourselves from prospering? Do you hear that? When we disobey God's commands, it hinders our prosperity. He said, you have abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you. We find ourselves, when we are going out of places and doing other things, look, the car's breaking down. The refrigerator breaks. The garbage disposal breaks. The light bill is late. They're threatening you to turn off the lights. They're threatening us to turn off the water. You don't have enough funds to keep the gas in the car. All these things begin to fall apart. Why? Because we're abandoning God. We're abandoning God. I was going running late yesterday, even though I got a hard thing, difficult getting out the house. Difficult. I move, and I'm trying to get everything right, which I should get everything right on Saturday. I got to go back doing that, getting things right on the Sabbath and ready. So I said, well, you know what? I got to go a long way, and it's hot outside. I got to run my AC. I don't drive my car when it's hot. People say, well, I ain't saving no gas. That gas belongs to God. He got to pay the gas bill. I'm going to run my AC. God don't want me running no car, driving no car. The car's over 100 degrees hot inside there. No, no. He said, put on the issue. So I said, my gas was low. I said, well, it was about a quarter. And I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I ain't going for no gas. Because I go there, the gas station seems like it take a long time to fill the tank. I don't go to put no quarter. I fill my tank. And I said, I'm going to the house. And I started to pray. And I said, Lord, I need a space. Because that area with the church is hard to get space. And when I got there, there was a space right in front of the church. Because it's still a front church. It's nice. I got the pictures. I put the pictures on Facebook, the inside of the church, and the sanctuary and all that. And the storefront church. So when I get there, yesterday there was a space right in front of the church. Only God can do that. And I came back. Now, by the time I'm coming back, my car's coming down. The gas is really getting low. But I was able to get all the way back, almost home, and I went to the gas station so the car can come home. So next week, I have plenty of gas. This is what God wants. I'm telling you this. If you find yourself feeling weak, tired, take an inventory of your own mind. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at the church. Look at yourself. Why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling depressed? Why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling nauseous? What am I doing wrong? And I'm going to realize, you're going to find out when you really go into thinking about, you're going to say, well, you're going to notice, well, you know what? I'm not praying as much as I used to pray. I'm not studying the word as much as I used to study the word. I'm not giving this God the time that really he deserves. And he deserves all of my time. You know, not boasting. I probably tell the Lord, I said, now when I leave to go to church, I'm praying all the way from home till I get to church, which is over an hour, which is not a long time to pray. But I'm praying because I'm going to go on the highway and people zoom and shoot, shoot, shoot. I'm driving 70 miles and people shoot the 65-mile zone. Sometimes I'm driving 80 miles. People sit past me like I'm stopped. So I got to pray for traveling mercy, not only for them but for me too. Not only for me but for them too. You know what I'm saying? So I can get there. The Bible says that they abandoned God. It hindered their prosperity. Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah. And King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Don't see that? The people going to want to kill you when you stand for truth. It's happening right now in the United States of America. They're coming after the Christians, not only here, in Nigeria, in Kenya, in South Africa, in Brazil, in Haiti, in Canada. You watch it on TV. They want to fight with the Christians to preach it, for preaching Jesus, for preaching about salvation, for preaching holiness. Because if you can say, well, you know, it's all right. As long as you're doing what you're doing, you're happy, you're in love. But you're in agreement with sin. I got a niece back in the country that is a lesbian. And I let her know that the lifestyle is not right. I love her. She's my niece. But I don't love her lifestyle. We get off that we don't want to stand for truth. You claim you're standing for truth, but really and truly, you're standing for lies because you would not speak out against it. And in the church, your pastor that you're giving all your money to is in agreement with it, and you said sow and seed in that church. The devil's a liar. You said sow and pay your tithe in that church where the pastor is in agreement with abortion, is in agreement with same-sex marriage, and you're sowing your money in that church. Something to think about. They plotted to kill the man of God, the servant of God, Zechariah. The king Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple, right in front of the house, in front of God's house. That was how King Joash repaid Jehoiada for his loyalty, by killing his son Zechariah's last words. Zechariah's last words as he died were, May the Lord see what they are doing and avenge my death. I want you to know that God is not blind. He isn't blind to the foolishness that's taking place. I want you to know this. We're in Zechariah 24, 2 Chronicles 24, starting at verse 17 to 21. No, let's go back to chapter 20. Let me see where we got over here. Over here. This is the Lord here. Start at verse 1. I want to come on down. Give you a little bit of this today. And see, this thing, I mean, this is so much I have here. And I did this piece. I taught this back in 2011. But the Lord said to bring it up today, this morning. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Amorites, and some of the Meunites declare war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. No. There are hundreds of thousands of soldiers, men of war, that are in array, wanting to defeat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a man of God or servant of God. You see it all through the Old Testament. But the first thing he said, he was terrified. That means he was afraid in his physical sense. He was physically terrified, becoming weak. Because, you know, fear can make you weak. Fear can even cause you to become sick physically. Fear. But what Jehoshaphat did in this text here, that he sought the Lord for guidance. And he asked God to order, he ordered everyone in Judah to begin a fasting. Begin fasting. See, because when the first thing that happened in, when you begin to fast is you begin to get weak. Then after a few days, you begin to get spiritually strong. Hallelujah. I'm talking about truly fasting. I fasted for 40 days, 21 days, 7 days, 3 days. I fasted. Not boasting. Because sometimes I go through so much stuff and I know that the only thing that can help me to get over is fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth, Jesus. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Listen for the adoration that he's given to God. He's not talking about his army, his soldiers. He's not talking about all the wealth that he has, but he's talking about God. He's saying these wonderful words to God. Can you see God just sitting there on his throne and admonishing all that his son is saying to him? I begin to tell God, you are so wonderful, so merciful. God, I can't do anything without you. If you don't show up this morning, God, nothing is going to happen. You got to tell God this. You're dependent. Your dependency is on him. Let him know, I cannot have this woman and treat her the way that I want to treat her. I cannot have this man and treat him the way I want without you, God. I want you to be the center of everything that I do. This is what Jehoshaphat says. He said, oh God, verse 7, did you not drive out those who lived in the land, in this land, when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. Oh, my God, this thing just is filling me right there. He said, they said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You will not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, Jesus have mercy, which you give us as an inheritance. Now, I got to highlight that on my computer. That is so powerful right there. You got to see the car that you are driving, the house that you are living in, the wife that you have, the husband that you have, as God's, belongs to God, but God allowing you to have them or have it for the time that you reside in this earth realm. You got to see that. He said, oh God, won't you stop them? He asked God a proud question. Oh God, you are God. Won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. That's another verse to highlight right there in your Bible. I'm doing it on my computer because once I touch the page, it highlights. He said, as the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name is Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Tania, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph, another man of God. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Do not be afraid. Oh, God, I get chills right there. Ooh, goosebumps come upon me right there. He said, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And that's another verse to highlight. We see the B part of this scripture a lot. We say the battle is not yours, but the Lord. But you need to get the whole verse. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. That's another man of God. This is a prophet speaking now. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army. By this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we are dealing with situations. We are facing situations. And we get despondent. We become scared. Afraid. We become weak. We are almost shaking in our boots, my mama used to say. But he says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the people that you see today make you tremble. Because tomorrow, you will see them no more. That's what Moses told them. The enemy you see today, you will not see tomorrow. Why? Because God is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. You're going through some things right now. There's some people out there in computer land, as you hear this message, you are dealing with some situations, some circumstances. But if you trust God, if you depend on God, if you rely on God, I was saying this morning, as a first time to pray for Providence Kersey's daughter. There's nothing too hard for God. And I talked on the early part of the service how my pastor back in Virginia years ago had a stroke that paralyzed his whole left side. He couldn't move his left hand, and his left foot was dragging. And God told me to go over to his house and pray for him and give him a message. And I gave him the message as the Lord gave to me. I was a young man, young in the ministry. See, you know that's a good while ago. He was in bed, bedridden from the stroke. His wife was washing him down, cleaning him down, doing all the stuff. He came up out of the bed to a walker, dragging through the house. He didn't come to church for a long time. Long time. Because he messed up real bad. And then he went from a walker to a cane. And from a cane, walking in the strength of the Lord. If you see him today, you wouldn't know that he ever had a stroke. From his left jaw, which happened from the left side of his brain, all down from his left jaw, all the way down his left shoulder, all the way down his left leg and toes, was paralyzed. And God healed this man. Heal him. I'm telling you this because Prophetess Kersey, if you're out there in computer land, and I pray for you, and I'm going to pray for your daughter every day till she come on that horse pill. I'll tell you that. Just trust God. The Bible said that tomorrow, verse 16, he said, this prophet said, march out against them. You will find them coming up to the ascent of Zik at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your position as though you're going to fight. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. See, sometimes all you need to do is get up and start praying. That's all you need to do. Don't try to figure out how God's going to work it out. Because, see, we are people. We like to see with our eyes. And we have the Thomas, doubting Thomas complex. If we don't see as much as we love God, as we say we love God, if we don't see it like that, we kind of become despondent. But God don't need you to jump up and jump down. Just God wants us to do is believe. Trust him. He said, look, listen to what the prophet said to them. But you will not need to fight. He told them first. Let's go back up to verse 16, man. This is chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Look, I got about 10 more scriptures to give, but I'm not going to give all today. I'm going to do a part two of this. I'm going to give a couple more scriptures, but I'm going to do a part two. Listen. This is what he said. Let's go back up to verse 16 and come back down. See this thing. He said, tomorrow, this is the prophet speaking. Hallelujah. He's speaking to Jehoshaphat. March out against them, against your enemy. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Zik, this, at the end of the valley, of that valley open into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your position. Stand like if you are going to fight. Take a stance like if you're going to fight. He says, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I want you to know this. He told them, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory, the sovereign Lord's victory. He is with you. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. We are facing a calamity in our nation with this same-sex marriage, child abuse, organ trafficking, people trafficking. All this stuff is going on in our nation. They're coming against the word of God. They're coming against the people of God. And what God is calling for the people to do is prayer, fasting prayer. Because this spirit that's in our nation is only going to be moved by fasting and praying. Don't pray for vengeance. Pray for God's will. God will do whatever he needs to do. He said, vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Pray for God to deal with the spirit that's in our nation. Pray that God would bring the people of God together, that the house of God would become filled again instead of empty, two or three people. They're only going and filling this house where they're talking nonsense. They're not telling the people about holiness. And when you see those churches filled, most of them are not talking about holiness. They're not talking against sin, S-I-N. Everything that's not of God is sin. They're not talking against it. They tell you about we evolving. What you going to become to? What you going to become? You're a man already. Are you going to become an ape, a donkey, a horse, a bird, a butterfly? They say we evolving. The church is always going to be the church. The church is not going to something else. The church is the bread of the Most High God. It's not going to become anything else. It is the bride of God. And people running, oh, I got to go. They said, some people say, well, they were going to something, they're evolving, they had some big program somewhere down south yesterday or over the weekend. 3 or 4 days it was going on. Whole bunch of women come together. They say they're evolving women. Where they becoming? You know, the foolishness about women liberation. You know, women, I respect women. But now the women set themselves on a pedestal. And they become independent from men. So they say, I don't need to have a man. God created you for man. This is all, this is why there's so much weak, so much, the weakness is in the earth right now. Because women coming up now and they say, well, I don't need a man. But God said, I created you for me. You're God, your man's half me. God gave to men. And then some men are so idiotic that when they get a woman and say, I love you, I promise to be with you, and sickness and in health, till death do us part, for better, for worse. You know, the same word they say at the altar when the pastor asks her, they say, I will. They say, I do. And then they end up saying, I won't and I don't. After 6 months or 8 months or a year or so, they don't love the man anymore, don't love the woman anymore. There's fluctuation because it's not real. It didn't start real. You know why I say it's not real? It didn't start with God. See, because if you invite God in your engagement, he'll stay in your marriage. He'll stay in your marriage. Even when you feel that you want to give up, God will show up in the midst of your marriage, the confusion that you're dealing with, because he's not the author of confusion, but he'll show up in your confusion so to get it right, let you know. With him, all things are possible. Here he said to the king, he told the king, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. See, you got to remember this. That when you acknowledge God is your leader, God is your instructor. When you acknowledge him, that you can't do nothing without him, God will show up in every situation. You can sit in your house and say, Lord, you can be saying to yourself, I don't have no money at all. I don't have nothing. But God is my supply. When you read this text, I'm going to stay at that verse 18. Read it down to, study it down to verse 30. Then it goes into something else. Then to go, but I just want to stop here at verse 18. But God had, if you read the rest of this text, God had destroyed the enemies. Your enemy that you see today, you will not see him tomorrow. I come to tell today that if you are feeling weak in your body, your mind is going up and down, trust God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I think, and put up a couple of verses there. Just trust God. Don't let your situation that you are in dictate the outcome. I always said that the outcome is going to be greater than the income. And people say, why you say that? I said, because my outcome is in God. I'm not concerned about the income. I'm concerned about the outcome when it's all finished and done. Hallelujah. Is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, depart from me, a work of iniquity? Into oblivion. What is he going to say? We all going to make mistakes till we get to that day. You're not going to walk a straight and narrow path all your life. We all going to fall. But you don't have to stay down. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times. But he gets back up. He don't stay down in the mud like a pig. He gets back up, brushes himself off, and says, God, I'm sorry. I have failed you. Clean me up today, Lord. See, no man or woman have the power to clean you or clean us. God does. Don't take it to your wife. Don't take it to your husband. Take it to God. Don't take it to your boss, your supervisor, your sister, your brother, cousin, uncle. Take it to God. You'll come up short. We all going to come up short from time to time. Look at the Old Testament. And everybody now trying to be an Israelite. Everybody trying to be an Israelite. Look in the Old Testament and see all the mistakes that the Israelites did. Fornication, adultery, homosexuals, all that stuff. When Moses was up on the mount talking to God, they were doing all type of stuff. They were having orgies and men sleeping with men and women with women. All that stuff was going on. It was all kind of corruption was going on. It was all day in the earth. It didn't just start yesterday. And Moses came down with the first set of commandments. What did he do? He threw them on the ground. And the power of God opened the ground. And thousands of Israelites went down on the ground, dead, alive. They were buried alive because of sin. They were God people. He brought them out the wilderness. He led them out of the wilderness with a strong hand. That's what the Bible says. And they still turn their back on him. You think that we're not going to fall from time to time? But God is faithful and just, the Bible says, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is. But we got to open our mouth. Look at David. He committed adultery. He killed, caused Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to be sent to the forefront of the battle so he could be killed. And he had Bathsheba for his second wife. Do you hear me? God had to show him. He took his baby, the first baby, from Bathsheba. Then he gave him Solomon. Do you hear me today? God would chastise us, but we got to come back to God. And we got to ask God to forgive us. He said, God, forgive me. He said, Lord, he told the Lord, he says, you have the right to judge me however you can, however you choose to. In Psalm 51, he asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit. He asked God not to take his spirit from him, his Holy Spirit. Could David know that God was capable of taking everything that he needs? Not that he wants, but everything that he needs. We need God's spirit in us, moving in us and through us and with us. He's talking about, God, don't take my car. Lord, don't let me lose my house. I lost 2 houses since I've been in the country. Because of my sin, the lifestyle I was living. I lost 2 houses, big houses too. The last house I lost was a 5-bedroom house.
three and a half baths, two car garage. Had a gazebo in the backyard with ceiling fan all in the backyard. Had another house in the backyard that I had was my tool room with a big house with air conditioning everything. It's big enough to put a bed in there, but it had all my tools. I lost it. I was locked up for immigration. They tried to deport me because I was smoking cocaine and all that stuff about 25, 30 years ago, but longer than that now. And I didn't spend no time in jail, but they tried to bring it back to send me out the country. But God vindicate me, put me in a immigration jail for 66 days back then. And we started two churches in there. Latin American church and African American church. We had a translator from British Honduras where we ordained him while we was in jail, sent him back to British Honduras because he didn't have the money to get a lawyer to fight for him. And he's back in Honduras, Lord knows. I believe he's still preaching. And that time we were there for 66 days. God saved 68 people. Tell me God wouldn't do it. And we still here in America. Not only are we still in America, but we became a citizen of the United States of America. Hallelujah. Voting for whoever become president or governor or senator in all states. Tell me God wouldn't do it. Here in this book, Moses urges Israel to obey. Read this text for yourself because this is so powerful. I love the Old Testament. I like to go back and forth because some people say, well, we're a New Testament church. But you cannot become a New Testament church until you first become an Old Testament church. Just like you can't become a man or a woman until you first was a baby. You see? You understand? You just don't all of a sudden become a man. Even God was a baby. Came down here and was a baby in the flesh, Jesus. Came out of Mary's baby. Then he become a man, God man. You understand? So everything it has to go through the same procedure. So he says here in this book, let's put one verse and then we're going to pray and open the line and do whatever. But read this book. Read it the first 14 verses and it'll bless you. It'll bless you. Talking about serious obedience. God wants us to obey him. But I want to put up one verse in here for the sake of the text today. It says three verses, verse 29, 30, and 31. He said, but from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart, soul, and with all your heart and soul, you will find him. In the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors, talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or Israel. God will not forget. That's why we can go back to him when we are going through or if we are not going through. We should always seek the Lord. We ought not get up and say, well, let me just put on this nice pair of shoes, get this nice black underwear, bra, all the stuff, depends on what gender you are, and get yourself all dressed up and dubbed up and going out. We ought to seek him first. You know, I go sometime and say, well, look, I want to go somewhere. And I said, Lord, I want to go down to the store. I want to get some Jamaican food. Or, Lord, I want to go down drugstore and buy this or buy that. Or I want to go to the mall and get me a suit or something, which I haven't bought any suits for, years, 5 or 6 years I haven't bought a suit. And I said, Lord, should I go down to the store? I need to get a nice hat, nice black hat. In a brown hat. Oh, matching with my suits. I said, Lord, should I just go down? And in my spirit, I could hear the Lord say, just lay in the house, just relax. You don't need to go anywhere right now. And I said, okay, Lord. Kid, if you have your spirit, it's tuned to heaven. See, heaven sends out a signal
signals nonstop is coming from heaven all day long, all day, all night. There are signals, spiritual signals coming from heaven. But if you don't tune your antenna to heaven, you will not hear the signals. You will not pick up the signals. Because you're tuned to the malls and the stuff that's going on, the computer, the television, all that stuff you're tuned to. But you need to tune your spiritual antenna to heaven because you want to hear God's instruction. Remember, we started talking about God gives the instruction, give instructions to the people in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If we don't tune our spiritual antenna to heaven, we'll miss all that God is saying. And God is always speaking to us. He's always giving us instruction how to go about our day. Sometimes you want to go get some gas. God said, don't go to the gas station. Matter of fact, don't go to that gas station that's close to the house. If you're going to go get the gas, go to the one that's 3 miles down the road. Then you get back home, you hear somebody say, well, you know that gas station you used to go? John, man, there was a shooting at that. There was a robbery at that gas station. And God has protected you because you were listening. You heard. You didn't go. Ask God before you step out. And if you know you got to go to work every day and do a certain thing, pray for God's protection and safety while you're out there going this place and going that place. And if you're going to a job that is stationary, like you're going to an office, ask God to protect the office. Don't just pray for you. Pray for all the office workers. You may not be the supervisor, but pray for all of them. Pray for your supervisor. Pray for your boss. Don't criticize your boss everything they do, because the position may soon become yours. Pray for them. Don't criticize the business, because you may become the owner of the business. God will make it a way that man just saw, that woman say, see your tenacity, see how tenacious you is about doing what you do and how faithful you are. And say, look, I'm getting ready. I've been in this business for 55 years, and I'm getting ready to retire. And brother so-and-so or Miss so-and-so, my husband and I, we decide that we want to sign all the papers over to you, that you keep the company. You take over the company. We'll blow your mind. It's in your mouth. Your blessing is in your mouth. You say, well, it's in heaven. No, your blessing is in your mouth, because as you begin to bless people and pray for people, God begins to bless you. He said, given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall men give into your bosom. You got to give. Open your mouth. Give out a word. Give out a good word. Pure word. Love. Kindness. That's what he says. Send it out of your mouth. There's people that just dislike me for no reason at all. You know. For no reason at all. You too. Some people dislike you for no reason. Pray for them. Don't get on the devil track and just, don't do that. Don't do that. The devil want you to do that because now you're working for him. You're on his payroll. No, you're not on the devil's payroll. You're on God's payroll. You pray for them. And you say, Lord, I thank you for sister so-and-so. I thank you for... Don't come against them, because the devil wants you to start using his word, cutting up the people of God. Pray for them. Pray for them. Especially when you know they're walking for God, pray for them. Pray for them. Hallelujah, glory to God. Pray that the money keep coming. I got to order this commune tablecloth, and it's very expensive. I didn't think that tablecloths cost that much money. The cheapest one's $109 for a tablecloth that says in his remembrance, tablecloth. And pray that God bless me, because, you know, I want to dedicate that to the church. I just got to the communion plates and stuff. You know, we got that, got those, because we want the people to have partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There's no church if you don't have Holy Communion. You got to have Holy Communion. You got to remember Christ. You got to remember what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. You got to always remember. You know, of course, great is his faithfulness towards us. Remember what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do.
Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We'll do a part two Wednesday. It's going to be a difficult day, but we're going to come on Wednesday. Today we came on at 12 o'clock. It was supposed to be 12 o'clock, but we didn't start till 12:30 because I had to drop my granddaughter to work. And it took me a little while to get there and get back. But tomorrow, been having some problem with this store to deliver the store. I disconnect the old store two times, install it two times. Every time, the last time I was supposed to put the new stove in, they brought the stove completely damaged. I'm going to beat it up on every side. The man says, she's not going to receive that beat up stove. We got some people working in this country, and they're working for a little bit of money. And you can't beat them up. You know, they come in here to try to help their families. We just got to get that border fixed. They want to help their families, and they take Netskin and nothing, which is putting a lot of African-Americans out of business because they can't get a job, and that's the reason why they can't get a job. Understand, they can't get a job because people are working for less money. Understand? And we have these people come over delivering the stove. They don't know what they're doing. They damaged the stove, broke up the stove. Let me see what Prophetess Kersey says, that her daughter was discharged yesterday, praise God, but her mind is not the same. Some memory loss. That's okay. God will correct that. God will correct her memory. Don't worry about it. We all going to pray for her memory. Because God is the healer. He's the author, and he's the finisher. We just got to know that he will. He will. Glory to God. He will heal your daughter completely and bring her back, give her back a mind, make her mind better than it was. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And Lord, we bless you and praise you, O God. We thank you. We thank you for you are the God of all sufficiency, O God, a God who cannot fail, O God. What you said you would do, you do. God, you don't lie. So we trust you. We believe you. We're depending on you. Lord is so faithful, Lord. We pray for in the church building. We prayed for Prophetess Kersey's daughter. We prayed for before we left here. We prayed when we got to church building. And we prayed for this morning. But I got a message on my page. She said that the daughter was discharged from the hospital yesterday, but she's still having a little deficiency in her thoughts, in her mind. But, Father, we believe, O God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth, O God. God, you cannot fail. God, she knows who you are. Her mother knows who you are. Her brother, O God, everything that concerns her, she glorifies you, God. So, Father, we bring her before you right now in the precious name of Jesus, the name that's above all names. Jesus said, if I ask, Father, in your name, that you will do. Oh, God, I lift up this young woman before you. And, God, even as you brought her out the hospital, she went in there in a very desperate situation. We know, God, that your words say you who began a good work in us are faithful to complete it. And, God, I know you didn't just start the healing process to leave her hanging. Oh, God, you are so majestic and so sovereign. Lord, you're so holy in all that you do. You, God of holiness and righteousness. God, you never fail in what you do. Lord, I lift her up before you right now. And, Father, I ask you to touch her right where she's laying at home right now, God. I ask you to touch her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. God, touch her that she will know that it's you that's touching her. She'll feel changes taking place in her. Oh, God, touch every nerve. Oh, God, touch every ligament of her brain. Oh, God, I ask you to go in there and touch every little, oh, God, molecule of her brain, oh, God. Touch every signal,
temple God. It said the brain is like a computer, has a lot of different parts. I ask you, oh God, to touch every part. Let nothing be hidden. Nothing can hide from your eyes, oh God. You know all, can do all, you see all. Oh God, I ask you, let everything be subject to your voice, to your touch right now, God. And I ask, oh God, as you did for Pastor Bonner back in Virginia when I prayed for him, God. God, you brought him out that stroke, Lord. Every stroke, every element of the stroke was destroyed. We ask you, oh God, to touch, oh God, Prophetess Kirsi's daughter right now. Lord, begin the supernatural healing process. Lord, but most of all, I ask you to draw her closer to you. Not by power and not by might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Father, I ask you to draw her closer to you. Give her a reason to testify, God. Give her a reason to testify of your great love, your great compassion, your great mercy that she sees you have. Oh, God, let her begin to tell her story, oh, God. Lord, give her a story like you give to Job. You gave him a double portion, all that he'd been through. God, he did not deviate from the love he had for you, Lord God. He said that though you slay him, yet will he praise you. Oh, God, give her a story, oh, God, like no other story, oh, God. Give her a testimony that as she begins to testify, oh, God, you will be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus. And, God, as you do this, oh, God, we are testified. We are testified. We are tell folk. When we go places, we are tell folk how you heal a young woman. Oh, God, that had the stroke, that the stroke came, see what we say, had the stroke, came over her and thought it could take her out. But you showed up just on time because you are on time, God. God, you showed up just on time to let the devil know that you are still in control, that nobody is in control but you, God. And I thank you right now, God. I ask, oh, God, that you encourage her mother as she speaks words over her daughter. Oh, God, if she don't speak, nothing negative comes out of her mouth, but she continues to speak. Oh, God, how faithful you are, how kind you are, how loving you are. You will not fail. You'll do all things but fail, God. And as you do it, oh, God, we praising you, God. We glorifying you, God, because you're worthy to be lifted up. Father, there's somebody out there that they're on the verge of hell, to burst hell wide open. But before it happened, oh God, I want to give them the opportunity to receive you, Lord Jesus, because you said it is not your desire that any should perish, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you reach out from your throne in glory and let your hand swing over time right now. Let your hand swing over time, because there's somebody out there today that don't know that they have an opportunity to live eternally. Let them know this. They have a chance to live eternally. Oh, God, let not the devil fool you and make you think that you have given it all up, that's all over. Don't let the devil fool you. Hallelujah, glory to God. The devil want to make you think that this is the end, that when you leave this world, that it's all over. But I got to tell you that there's a second death. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about a second death in Revelation chapter 20. There's a second death. Hallelujah. But you want to be in the first resurrection. Hallelujah. If you be in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. Oh, God, has no authority over your soul. Hallelujah. The second death is where you would die spiritually. So today I want to give you an opportunity to receive this life, this life-giving force that comes from heaven. Glory to God. Let me read this thing I got written down here. Your soul is immortal. It will never die, talking with the spirit man. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness. Or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. Only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God. But God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you.
if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven. And to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, the Bible, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number two, you must recognize you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. You cannot pay your way, buy your way into heaven. Jesus has already done that already. He did that at the cross when he laid down his life, giving us access to the tree of life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't do anything to get there. Oh, Jesus already did everything. The only thing that you do is accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Submit and commit. Repent and be baptized. That's all you do. But Jesus did everything else that was supposed to be done to get you into heaven. He paid the price for my sin, your sin, for all sin. You can't pay the price for your sin. You're not holy. You're not pure. You're not holy. Without spot. Jesus is the only one that can pay the price for sin because he is holy, pure, and without sin, without spot, without blemish. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. They said, all these people, Oprah Winfrey and all these other people, T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, all of them saying that there's many ways. We're evolving. But Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through him. Saying he is the only way. I want you to know that he is the only way. No matter what you hear all these fantastic preachers saying, their time of reckoning is coming soon, where they're going to come before Jesus, and they're going to have to be answer for misleading the people of God, saying the things that are not so. That's not in the Bible. There's only one way. One way to sing that song. I think I heard Prophetess Cheryl sing that song, but one way. I don't know the song, but she sing a song about one way, and it's one way. The one way is Jesus. Number four. You must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young, and I can leave this matter for later. How many times do I hear that? Do you hear that? People saying, I don't need Jesus. I don't need all this Jesus stuff. I'm a young man. I'm a young woman. I don't need all this stuff. People say that. Because the enemy is very smart. He is very smart. We have people saying they don't need Jesus. No! Listen to what he says. I am young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things to you. You do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is a blessing. Salvation is a blessing, a free gift from God. The only way to receive this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 22:7, said, behold, I am coming quickly. That's the B section of that verse. Behold, I'm coming quickly. He didn't say I was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That's quicker than quick. Before you can snap your fingers, he's going to be here. Hallelujah. On that day that he chose to come. But he's given us time
and giving the world time to get it together. You understand? Because he's long-suffering, and he's giving time for us to get it together, people to get salvation, to give their life to God, turn their lives over. You say, well, I've been hearing this since I was a little girl, a little boy. Listen, you're going to hear it some more because it's still going to take a little time. He said he's long-suffering. He don't move when man said move. He move when he wants to move. He's not moving because the preacher says he's going to come. No, he's coming when he comes. He's coming like a thief in the night. The Bible says he's coming like a thief in the night. No man knows the day or the hour, but he's coming. What we need to do is we need to get together, get our lives together, so as he come at any time, we'll be ready. We're not going to get ready. We will be ready. We live in a ready life, always ready, that if he come at any time, we are ready to go back with him. I hope you're ready today. The Bible said that you must repent. You must repent and be baptized. Every one of you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must repent. Why do we say that? Jesus says repentance is part of salvation. He said this in the book of Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. You don't want to be damned. So you want to repent and you want to be baptized. He says in Acts 4 and 20 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name. You must be receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. No matter what people are saying. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, he said unto them, to his disciples, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, that's what Luke is saying, is baptized shall be saved. That's what Peter said over there in Acts. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. God has given us power and authority. But you have to go through all the teaching of Jesus. We talked about the principles of God last week. We have to go through all the teachings in order to get what God is saying to us. We can't just take this, well, if you just name it and claim it, God wants you to have it because it's yours. God wants you to be blessed. Yes, we know that because he told us in the word, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as you saw a prophet. This is what God says. But there's other things that God wants done. God wants us. God wants you. God wants me. He wants us to walk in righteousness. He wants us to walk holy. He wants us to live this thing out. See, this is why we teach this. We taught this message today. We got a part two to do this message tomorrow. We have to live this thing out. What to do when you're feeling weak. And the best thing to do to get to that place when you're feeling weak, you want to get to a place where you can live the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to get to that place. So in order to get there, you have to go to the place. The place is in Jesus. You go to him in repentance, asking God for his grace, for his mercy, to be upon you, upon us, that we can experience this love and this compassion that God has for us. We're not going to stay in this mope around, whining all day long. Why is this not happening to me? Why does it happen for this body, not for me? No, get into God. Ask God forgiveness. Ask God mercy. Go in there every day. Don't wait till Sunday morning when you get to the church building. Don't wait till Wednesday night. Don't wait till no particular. Every chance you get, ask God to forgive you because you're not perfect. We're not perfect. Ask God. Take it to the Lord and pray. That's what the old people used to say. Take it to, boy, you better take. My mama, she's gone home to be the Lord. And everything, I don't know. She said that stuff so much time. No, I tell soldiers, she said, boy, you better take it to the Lord and pray. Take it to the Lord and pray. I said, oh, God, thank you so much, mama.
And today, know I'm reaping from all that she has given. Mama says, Mama tell me stuff like, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get it with fleas. Birds of a feather flock together. I never knew all that stuff till my mama had to die and go home to be the Lord. And now I'm living and seeing all this stuff is coming to pass because I am reaping what I've been sowing. I'm with people of God that are teaching me and showing me stuff, you know, inviting me to walk this walk. You see, when I was with the dope people, guess what I was doing? I was spiritually dying, physically and spiritually dying. Once I got caught, up with God's people. And listen, you know, you got to get with people that are like mind. Get with people that like mind. You want to have this thing, you want to get this thing, get with people that are like mind, people that will tell you the truth, not a half-truth, not people that going to just all they want, accolades, you know. They don't want to be nobody that going to give them the truth and going to help them grow. They want people to give them accolades. Accolades only going to encourage you to walk stupid. That's what I say. Yes, stupid. Walk stupid. They want accolades. No, you love God's word. I'm glad you love God's word. But I want you to smack me on my back and make me think I got to give me a big head. No, I don't want this stuff. I'm glad I want people to love God's word. We all should fall in love with God's word. God's word is sufficient, more than enough for us. Just fall in love with God's word. People want accolades. They say, oh, you preaching real good. Man, glory to God. We just thank God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. And that's John 3:16-17. John 3:19b says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We're living in an evil world today. And people are loving and bathing in evil like it's sugar. Like they're bathing in honey water. I mean, they're just so happy about evil. Hallelujah. And they're coming against everything that's of God. They're coming against everything that is of God. Do you know that Christians are being attacked everywhere in nearly every country? People are talking about it. You go on the internet, you can hear them talking about Christians are being burned alive. They're being beheaded. They're dismembered for the gospel, not for doing anything to anybody, for just preaching the gospel. They're being beheaded. They're burned alive. Hallelujah. Their homes, the churches are being torn down. In India, in China, in Africa, oh God, in Brazil, these things are happening. In Canada, they're fighting the Christians. Right next door to us, they're fighting. Right here in America, they're fighting the Christians. Right here in my city, I don't even have to step up my city. Right here in Boston, Massachusetts, they're fighting against the Christians. Why? Because there's power in that word of God. And the word of God disturbs everything that's satanic. Do you know that? The word of God disturbs everything that's satanic. The lifestyle that the people are living is satanic, demonic. And you know, when you're preaching life, the devil going to come against you because the word is disturbing his camp. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him, that means anybody. Hallelujah. If a cat get up and open them up and say, meow, Jesus, he'll be saved. If a dog say, whoo, 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 Jesus, he'll be saved. Whosoever called on that name Jesus, believe in him. Hallelujah. Will not be ashamed. If you're not ashamed today, to Jesus today, in repentance, and ask Jesus to save your soul, say, Lord Jesus, say this for me if you're out there in computer land. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, from this words that I heard this morning, I come to the conclusion that I can only be saved by you. For you are the Savior, the living Savior. So I come to you with open heart, open mind, open soul, with great expectation I am convinced that I am a sinner. And I repent of my sin right now. And there are many. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1 and 9. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm inviting you now to come into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, giving your life that I might live and have the right to the tree of life. If you just said that prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, it's much more than that. Because, you know, the preacher said, you save, that's all you need. That's all, no, you need more than that. Believing in Jesus is good. Receiving him as Lord and Savior is good, even better. But now you need to learn the Word of God. The Word of God is the medicine that's going to feed your spirit man and propel you into living this life. Do you hear me? The Word of God is going to do it. You need to have the schematic. It's just like my granddaughter bought me something yesterday for the TV called Roku. Roku is a gadget that you hook up to the phone, hook up to the TV, and it gives you all of these other channels, you know, that as long as you got internet, it gives you all these other channels that you don't have to pay for. You know, the young people know all this stuff. It took me a long time to put it together, but I got it together in my bedroom. But my granddaughter, she said, well, Grandpa, the living room belongs to me. I'm going to take care of the living room. Well, she come home from work. I picked up last night. And she come home, and I want to tell you, the young people is amazing. She took that remote control and zip, 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 zip. And she had the computer, the TV set up to all these new channels for her in the living room. I said, Lord. And she, I said, girl, you do that stuff so fast. She said, oh, Grandpa, that's nothing. That's nothing. Man, it took me a few hours to get it together. I had to figure every turn and every signal and everything to get it together. But Jesus, my friend, you have to study this Bible. I'm telling you all this because all this is how salvation works out. You have to get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand. He will make it plain. He's the greatest teacher that you will ever encounter. Once you give him the latitude to teach you, man, he'll show up in your, and you're studying, and the pages will come alive before your very eyes. Hear what I'm telling you. I know because I experience it every time I open the Bible. I experience it. I experience the presence and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Get yourself the Bible of your choice and begin to study. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Allow him to teach you. He's only going to do as much as you allow him to. Allow him to teach you, okay? And then I want you to get here. Call a pastor, a teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and let them know that you received the gift of salvation, that you are studying the Word of God, and that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And the reason why I say that, because a lot of people are going to tell you, oh, yes, we'll baptize you, but they want to baptize you the way they want to baptize you. Don't get mad with them if they say they're baptizing this in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, like Matthew 28 and 19 says. You want to determine your own salvation the way Jesus says. He says, baptize in his name. People say, well, he said, baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, what is his name?
What's the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because people are going to argue with that because they haven't had the revelation that the name of the Father is Jesus, the name of the Son is Jesus, the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Once you get that revelation, your whole life, your whole perspective is going to change. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, everybody that you can get to invite to the greatest occasion of your life, you know, that you give your life to Jesus, that you get him baptized in his name. Invite them, because you need witnesses. You understand what I'm saying? You need witnesses to this occasion. And once you get baptized, find a church, get in the church that is teaching and preaching the whole gospel, not a compromised gospel, but the whole. You want to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you need the whole truth. I thank God for you all. As you go down in that water, you're going down a liquid grave, you're dying to self. You're dying to self. You're coming alive to all things that are of Christ. Get yourself involved, okay? God bless you all. God, I thank God for you all to hear me out, seeing this stuff, sharing this word of God with you today. I hope that you receive what God has given me to give to you all today. And I hope that you continue to grow. You know, I hope you continue to grow, because it's all about growing in Christ Jesus, okay? It's all about growing in him. Hallelujah. God bless you all. The line is now open for anyone. Some people came on late. They didn't hear the message, but the line is now open for anyone that want to respond. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle Kendall. I want to say thank God for you, man. I love you. Thank you for praying for my sister. I love the word. See, I can't only say something before I finish. I'm a little more trouble. But I just thank God for the truth and the word and the patience of God. He is patient towards us. He gives brand new mercy every day. And you're right, we have to repent daily. You know, the Bible says we got to sow salvation with fear and trembling. That's every day. You got to search yourself and look at the man in the mirror to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. And then search the scriptures. The Bible says you can think you have eternal life, and then you got to go in and search the scriptures to make sure you line up with God's word. And I just love everything you were saying, how, you know, it just, everything is just, the world is getting worse. And people, you know, they love it, saying like they love sugar. I got to laugh out of that one, man. That was good. You know, the world like they love sugar, like sugar, man. Man, and then people acting as if God's not going to do anything. This thing made me think about the day of Noah, when Noah preached all them years, and they thought it wasn't going to rain until it was too late. And it ain't God will for none of us to perish, but come to repentance. And God never made hell for the devil and his angels. But, you know, like the Bible said, hell has enlarged itself. But people love dogs rather than light. They don't want God. They want what they want. And, you know, you got ministries now, Silent Bottom Ministry, and deciphering the word, taking out and adding to it, and trying to make new Bibles to fit their agenda. And no, God's word already settled in heaven. God never changed. God never changed. Man changed like the weather now. And they changed like the weather. God never changed. You know, they talking about this like you were saying, they talking about we re-evolving. And God ain't never told us to re-evolve. He told man to be frugal and multiply. And so man just got to find some kind of way to justify what they do and think they smarter than God. And just say how we can sit right on God's planet and enjoy his hot sun and his beautiful sky and his trees and think we're going to live a utopia life without God. But I just think God's word was good. And, you know, you just got to keep praying, you know, because it just gets so even the gospel artists ain't even the same no more. You know, you can see that they being bought out by bribery and money and all that. And it's just sad what's going on, man. And only thing you can do is pray and ask God to really save. And you know, like the Bible said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And, you know, hearing the word of God, you know, people that out there, you know, man, don't wait till it's too late. Oh, God, why you got a chance? Why you got breath in your body? Because, you know, the Bible says the point of the man to die and after that judgment. So you want to make sure you get right with God while you got breath in your body, because as you take that last breath, ain't no more repentance after that. It's over with then. So it's best to come to God while you got breath in your body, and you can see, and you're in your right mind. You know what I'm saying? So it's best time to come to God. I just thank God for the truth, for the word, and you just be blessed. I pray that every man and woman of God, apostle, minister, evangelist, prophetess, or whatever, you know, office that you're in, that God continue to anoint you, that you can do, we can continue doing his word. And just everybody out there, you know, we continue praying for each other and then praying for Africa, you know, and just praying for all the other countries that are suffering because of what's going on. But Jesus said at the time, so he said, they're going to hate you for my very name's sake. And you can see that's the hour we living in with people. You can't even say the name Jesus. People get offended. They call it judging. And I tell people, I always tell people when they say it, I say, well, you already judge. If you go, they love to quote that scripture, John 3:16, God so loved the world. But they don't go down to the next scripture in Matthew 17:18 and say, if you don't believe on the only begotten Son, you already condemned. So whether I tell you, an apostle, a candidate to tell you, or somebody other man or woman of God tell you, if you don't repent and get it right with God, you already lost. And so people don't realize that, and the devil don't fool people. But then, you know, like the Bible says, the God of this world have blinded people, but they can't see. And then that's why you got to fight against the will of the enemy that's trying to, you know, cause you to be lost. Because it's just so easy to get caught up. You know, I like you talking about Facebook. Man, I noticed that on Facebook, man. I mean, there's long line of mine. The only time I get on there is when I need to get a message that I need to put on, you know, Bible scripture or something. I stop going on there because it's like, you know, you can't even look at Facebook no more. Everything is perverted. You know, and it's just sad. It's, you know, you can't, and even in the cartoons now. Everything is all, it's just over-sexualized and everything. And the devil just working overtime. It's just sad that, you know, you can't even look at something simple and enjoy the little simple things of life without the enemy trying to put something in your mind or pervert your mind with something. You know, nobody in the Bible says we got to guard our heart and soul with all diligence. We got to be sober. What the Bible says, be sober. I think it's 1 Peter 5:8-9. We say, be sober for our ancestors, the one lying, seeking who we made the Bible. You got to be sober, man. The devil ain't playing with us. So, you know, we got to be sober and just be pray that we make it and be kind word to make it for all the things that get ready to come upon the earth. Well, I love y'all. God bless you. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Mr. Joseph. Thank God for you. And we are grateful, Lord, that your sister's back home. But she's going to come out. She's going to come true. The Lord's going to pull her through. Matter of fact, he's already on the job. He's already working. He's already working on the job. God is working. He is not slack. He's not slow. You know, we just got to believe and stand on his word. It's one of his promises. All his promises, yea and amen, you know. So we just thank you. Then you got the post I sent you. So I sent you the post from yesterday's service in the church. I think I sent you. Yeah, I think I sent it to you. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, I got it. Everything you send me, I go back over it and, you know, do it. Cause, you know, yeah. I got to go back and study over it. But I just love the way, I just love the anointing that God, how he use you. Man, I tell you, you can tell that you have the Holy Ghost. That's why I tell people you need the Holy Ghost. That way you can hear what the Spirit of God says. You can hear the cry of God trying to call people in, and people don't really realize, not to interrupt you or nothing, or come in or say nothing there, but people don't realize the love of God is correcting you and bringing you on a straight and narrow road. Well, people don't want the straight way no more like they used to. Some people, yep. I don't say everybody. You got some people looking for, want the truth. Some people want to live right. Some people don't agree with, you know, living devil mind and lukewarm. But I just thank God for the word, man, that God, how God used you, Apostle Calvin. God going to take care of you, everything. And I've been praying, man, my prayer, you know, once I get myself straight, I can be a blessing to you because I just thank God for everything you do, man. And it takes a lot for, you know,
thank
you
God.
Doing. And I just thank God for you. Love you, man.
Love you too, man. Love you more. But we thank God. Just your presence here is enough, brother. Just your presence here is enough, you know, just to have you come on and hear what God is saying. Because we teach and preach at the same time. That's what we do. We teach and preach at the same time. You know, sometimes I have to fight myself because my spirit wants to run off. You know, I get excited. I want to preach, you know, and hoop. But he's pulled me back. He pulls me back. He says, no, just teach. Just teach. Slow down and teach. Slow down and teach. Like yesterday, that word the Lord gave me yesterday, Jesus will forgive the sinner that repenteth of the sin, was so powerful. It was so powerful. And he been working with me the whole week on that. And I shared it with prophetess and her fiance over in New Orleans. And I shared it with another prophetess in North Carolina. And I ordained both of them. And then when I got to church, the Lord said, this is what I want you to preach. I want you to teach this and slow yourself down. And it was so long. It took YouTube a long time because I didn't know that they only allow you to get the video up quick. They only give you like less than 30
minutes.
Yeah,
they give you like a certain amount of time. Yeah, you got to be, unless you're paying a certain amount of money or something like that, but most times they give you a certain amount of time. They'll set you off and you won't even know it. And so you got to really look into it.
They
only
give you like
you
30
quick.
Minutes or so, I think. So I preached the whole sermon. So I said, man, they said that it's taking long because they didn't cut it off. They just put up the whole sermon. They brought up the whole sermon because I said, wow, it took that long for them to download it. Because once I downloaded it from my phone to YouTube, it took hours for them to put up. So I said, man, I want to get it. But I know that it was going on there. And then I started to listen to it. I said, wow, it came out really nice. It came out really nice. That's what I do. I record the sermons on Sunday and post them on the internet, on YouTube. But this is what God is doing.
Hey,
God is doing.
Hey, Apostle, you're right though. Look at the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. He repented.
Yep.
His repentance, he did it from his heart. He said, "I deserve." He was the first Son of Man, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He said, "I deserve death. Whatever comes to me, I deserve it, and I done wrong all my life." And he felt sorrowful about his sin. That's what made Christ say, this day you'll be in paradise, because he was repenting before Christ in the way he knew how to repent. And he said he did it from his heart, because he knew that was going to be it. He knew he deserved everything coming to him, and he didn't act like he had no pride on him. He knew everything that he was facing, and that's what real repentance is realizing, hey, I don't even deserve your mercy or your blood. And see, that's the thing. And this is the thing. And see, that's why I see why the Bible say, God say this is untoward generation, because this generation now, and not all of them, think that God accept anything, and they come to God with a spirit of pride, and they don't know how to come to God. And it's not just their fault. It's the leader, some of the leadership that God haven't called. And people don't know the difference between the ones that are called. The Bible says men are called, a few chosen, and the ones that have been hired, and they hiring, and God didn't hire some of these people. And there's a lot of people coming out of these churches, and they got the spirit of pride. They come to God like he owed them something, like he a sugar daddy or Santa Claus, and God, if you do this for me, I do. And they come to God not knowing God ain't going to hear you. Your heart ain't right. You come to God just like Lucifer. Come to God with a spirit of pride, and he's looking at you like, that ain't my son. And then people don't know that, man. Like, God owed him something. God don't owe man nothing else. He already done enough. When he sent his son, he created the planet for man. He did all he can through the time man failed and to give us back to him. God don't owe us nothing. It's even just the generation not act like God owed him something. And they come to God with no reverence, no respect. And it's because you got leadership where I call God, the word of God, to be none of effect, because they're not showing people how to reverence God anymore. And respect him in his sovereignty and lifting him up as king. And that's all I had to say. I don't got went way out. I just can't hear, but I love the word of God, but I love you, man. God bless.
Love you, brother. Love you so much, minister. We thank God for you. Keep Deacon Fraser's father. I don't know if he's still on this side of the grave, because he, a couple of weeks ago, he had texted me that his father was out of stroke or something. And the was going on dealing with cancer had come back a hundredfold and attacked his body like crazy. So it was in his lungs and chest and so on. And so we were praying for him. I think he said he was in a nursing home or something like that, hospice or something. But we keep him in prayer, you know, that if it's God's will for him to be on this side, that he'll be remain on this side. But if God has to bring him home, it's his will, because we can't stop God. God knows who he's going to take home. You know, we just pray that he go home peacefully and keep him in prayer. Deacon Fraser, he's a good man of God. I love that young man.
Sir.
Love him. You know, he was the first man I called out to be a deacon. You know, everybody make fun of him. And the same folk that gang up and say crazy stuff to him about me, you know, they weren't the one who called him out. Lord was making fun of him, but I called him out, you know, because God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things to confound the mighty. You know, this is what God does. God don't choose. Just like that message God gave me yesterday was so powerful. I said, man, I had to contain myself from breaking down on the altar, because all of these highfalutin people that Jesus went and spent time with them, they were looking down on the woman. And Jesus had to rebuke him, rebuke Simon, and say, look, Simon, since I come to your house, you give me no water to wash my feet. You didn't give me no oil to anoint my head. Man, and everything, this woman came. She came and she been washing my feet with her tears, drying my feet with her hair on her head, and even anointing my feet with the most expensive perfume, you know. And he told Simon, and Simon couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. Jesus rebuked him right there. And a lot of folk was out. They don't see. You got to see through Christ's eyes, you know. And we have to reach out to those that are lost, let them know that Christ loved them. But we cannot be in agreement with sin. I don't care what sin it is. We cannot be in agreement. A lot of people talk about, like, it's the only sin on this earth is homosexual, lesbian. That's not the only sin, you know. What about gossiping? What about lying? What about cussing? Stealing? You know, rejecting God, the biggest sin. Cussing the Holy Ghost is the biggest sin, really, because there's no forgiveness for the Holy Ghost if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But you have people that do all that stuff. We don't say anything. We say, well, you know, us homosexuals, just lesbians. No. Bigger sin. And Jesus came to save every sinner of all sin. If the homosexual get to know that Christ loved them, if the dope dealer, if the sex trafficker, if the human trafficker, if they get to know that Jesus loved them and that he died for them, maybe they would allow him to take control of their heart. We want to preach hard. We in the church building, so we preaching hard to the church people, people that say they love God. I hear what I say. They say they love God. That's all I can say. I can't say if they do or they don't, but they say they love God. But we don't want to preach to those that are out there that need to love God. And some of them out there in the world, they have more love for God than the people up in the church. The church, they're putting on a show for their pastor, for the bishop, for their apostle, for the evangelist, for the teacher. They're putting on a show. You know, they come to let the pastor say, I'm at church every Sunday. I'm here every Wednesday night. I'm here every Saturday morning. Let the pastor see him. But what about letting God see your heart? You know, because God ain't looking at how good I talked about that in the message yesterday. God is not looking at how sharp we dress and on nice suits and nice shoes and nice hair, nice wig and all that stuff, powder you put on your face. He's not looking at that stuff. God is looking at our hearts. Do I love my brother? Do I love my sister?
Amen.
Do I respect the elderly? You know, we have no respect for the elderly. We are driving a car and we go to church and preach the gospel and find some homeless man on the side of the street, wouldn't give him a ride. Wouldn't even give him $2 to get a sandwich, but we're preaching the God. You know, and you got to understand, because God said that when we preach to him first. That's what he says. When we preach the gospel, we're preaching to him first. He told Moses to get Aaron and his sons and get them, get the priestly garments for them.
And he gave Moses the schematic, the plan, the measurements for Aaron's sons and for Aaron. And he got them, and he says, because once they get dressed up and have the ephod and all that stuff on, he says, they will come and minister to me first, then they'll go minister to the congregation. We don't look at it that way. The heart we go before God is our heart pure. Then we go up to the altar and we repent on the floor at the front of the altar or at home. Then we repent before we go to the house of the Lord to minister to God and God's people. Something to think about, you know. Something to think about. And ever since I watched that Rapture movie, I'm telling you, Minister Jones, it just convicted me, man. You know, because we have to get our heart right. Allow God to make our heart right. Because why? I don't want to be standing in that church building preaching and all the people just leave from around me and gone. You know? Gone to heaven. They're raptured out of here and I'm still up in the church building standing there with the Bible in my hand. Because why? I feel to give God my heart. How you give God your heart? When you repent. You repent, you give God your heart. God can come in now. He's not coming into a heart that's full of filth. You wouldn't go in a house that has filth. I wouldn't go in a house that's full of filth. Why do we think God going to come in a house that's full of filth? He's not going to. Same in the natural, same in the spirit. We clean our heart when we repent. Godly repentance leads to salvation. Godly repentance. We have to repent, open the heart. It allows the gift of God to enter our hearts. Glory to God. So I thank God for you all. Other people on the line, nobody's sharing. So, brother, Minister Jones, you can go ahead and pray us out. You can go ahead and pray us out, Minister Jones. We thank God for you. You can go ahead and pray us out.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. God, we lift up Deacon Frazier. God, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen him in his heart, Lord. God, of his father, Lord. God, man, I lost my father about 2 years ago. God, and I just ask you, Lord, to strengthen his father, Lord. God, it's not easy, Lord, when you have conditions of your mother and your father. And many of us have lost a loved one. God, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen his heart and his mind. God, continue blessing him in every area of his life, God. You're the only one to do it. So I ask you, Lord, to help him today, God. Deacon Frazier, help him, Lord, God. Continue struggling him in every area of life. God, you said, man, tonight is set when you give heart desire, Lord. You know what you need before you ask. God, I ask you, Lord, to go before him. Let your blood cover him. Cover Apostle Calendar. God, keep him in the name of Jesus, God. Let your blood keep him. God, make a way. God, you said we have not going to be asking. God, I ask you, God, to open up windows of heaven and pull him out of blessing that he won't have room enough to see. Lord, make a way to everything he needs for his ministry. God, to be a comfort for him. God, you have called him, God, for this purpose, Lord. And God, just ask you to make a way, Lord. God, we ask you, Lord, we look to you. God, you told us, God, we seek you first, King, God, in righteousness. All these things we add unto you, Lord. So we ask you to continue to bless his ministry and every man and woman of God, that needs strength on his prayer line, Lord. Whether they pastor, prophetess, bishop, whatever position they're in, God, continue to strengthen them, God. They'll be able to do your will and walk in your will, Lord, God. In the name of Jesus, God, you don't know what can do it. Lord, keep our family, our loved ones, God. Those that are not saved, God. God, yes, you ought to continue. God, draw them to you, Lord. Only they can come unless you're drawn. And so, Lord, we lift you up, Jesus, Lord, and lift your name up in the name of Jesus. Lord, pray for sinners everywhere, Lord. Those that are not saved, God, that don't know your part to sin, God, that you save and deliver. God, in the name of Jesus, those that we can't reach, God, Lord, send them evangelists, men and women of God, they can reach them. Maybe it's in the grocery store, Lord. Maybe at the laundromat, Lord. Wherever it may be, God, they'll know you. God, before they take their last breath, God. And we forever bless your name, God. Bless this radio broadcast and everyone that's out there, all through Africa, Haiti, Jamaica, across Russia, across the world. God, that God, keep those families, God, that are suffering. God, keep those children, Lord. Keep our children, Lord. We plead about Jesus against the satanic agenda and hell and the gates of hell and every principality. We plead the blood of Jesus against it, God. We release your power and your anointing, God, over our life. And our family, of our communities, Lord, keep us in the name of Jesus, Lord. You said, whatever we loose on earth, you loose in heaven. You said, whatever we bind, you'll bind. And so, Lord, we loose your power and your anointing, Lord, that we'll continue to be able to do your will and walk on your staff in Jesus' name. Lord, I forever bless your name and give your name the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. God bless you. Stay safe.
And we'll keep your sister in prayer, and we're expecting God to do great miracles in her life. You know, because as the scripture says, the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. And the Lord will fight for her. He's fighting for your sister. She's going to come back with clearer thoughts than she had. Lord, I mean, God is clearing it up. She got that God is the one who is doing the healing. I don't care what the doctor said. They're just scientists. They believe in science. But I believe that the God I serve is able. If he did, he did it for my pastor, he would do it for her, you know. And that man turned his back on God. He was a powerful, anointed man of God. I wouldn't even call his name on this ministry. He turned his back on God. You understand? After God has done so much for him, he turned his back on God. And I ask the Lord to strengthen me. If it comes to a day that I would turn my back on God, I ask God, take me out of this world before that day comes. Don't allow me to do that. You know, I'd rather die first. You know, because, and as you were saying, you know, it's true. People do stuff because of money. You know, you can't buy what God has done for me. You know, I will not allow it to happen. They give up on God and turn. But I thank God for you, Minister John. Be safe out there. We keep you and your family in prayer, and your wife, everything that concerns you, because God has great plans for your ministry. You know, has great plans for your ministry. I'll have you come back here when you get some time off from your job to bring another word for us. But you all have a blessed day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. If the Lord say the same, and we are on this side of the grave, we're going to do part two of this message tomorrow. And I guess we are coming at Jose, or Judges, start at Judges of Jose, one of those books. And we are come on down talking about what to do when you're feeling weak. We assure you, as we showed you today, what to do. Just seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That's the key. Seek the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, seek the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. That was my key scripture today. Well, God bless you all. I'll see you all tomorrow. Have a blessed day, safe day. And the Lord continue to bless and keep you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Minister Jones, for praying us out. Bye-bye.